Products that are being produced in Greece, like olive oil, feta, and all that stuff, they are more expensive than in Europe. Like, we see
Yes.
that in the shelves of the supermarket in Germany, feta is maybe half the price, or olive oil. And here in Greece, they are double the price. And we produce them, we export
Yes.
them. How is it that possible? Basically, the oligarchy of the supermarkets and every business person to rise the prices as they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they call themselves patriots.
Yeah,
Yes.
so it is very I can't understand how is that possible when we
Yeah.
export it, or even the vegetables, the fruits.
Yeah, as if we pay the exportation tax, not the other countries.
Добре дојдовте во уште една емисија на Гласни идеи, во која што имаме интернационални гости, поточно гости од Грција, кои што вчера беа присутни во социјалниот центар Дуња на една трибина, после која се потпише и декларација за борба против национализмот, милитаризмот на Балканот и за меѓусебна соработка меѓу социјалистичките организации во овој регион. I'm glad we have Ria and Nicholas from Youth for Communist Liberation from Greece.
Yeah. It's nice to be here.
I'm glad. The first question will be what are your activities in this period? Are you active in a student movement? Are you have engagement in protest? What are the questions that generally youth in Greece are confronted with the state, with the police? What are your activities this period?
The student movement has gave a lot of fights the past years. It's like hereditary, let's say, from the military regime we had in that fell in the 1973 by the students with the occupation of the Polytechnic faculty in Athens, and from then and the student unions in the departments are in the departments of the universities are very active. The students are deciding democratically through general assemblies in every department or faculty, and students are chronically decide for better and more and quality-based studies. The past year we gave a fight against the private universities, against the privatization of the higher education, and now it has come our time to fight against the exclusion of the so-called the students that take a lot of time to finish their studies. That measure was has been presented four times in the Congress of Greece. The bill has passed, sadly, with the privatization of universities. And do you want to continue about
yeah,
the
sure.
struggle?
However, obviously, just because it has been passed in the Congress does not mean we're gonna let it be actually applied at our universities. It's actually more of a reason for us to do riots and protests against it, because inherently, actually, the bill that is being passed and the way that it's going to be passed is a way for class fractures to be even more, even stronger at our universities. And the thing is, we have fought for so long for higher education to be free to the public and accessible to everyone, regardless of class, and we will continue to fight so it remains as such. However, one problem that essentially has appeared in the last few days is that with the bill that was passed with the privatization of higher education was the policing of our protests and of the university in general has been way stricter. And there are many examples through the past few months that can signify that. While a few years ago, if police would enter the university grounds or the campus at all, it would be a huge deal. However, we're also obviously trying to fight against that because university shouldn't be a place that is policed and obviously shouldn't be a place where it's just the reproduction of academia and academic knowledge. It should be a place where you get radicalized, you socialize. And yeah, this is the kind of university where we're trying to build as well through our unions and through parties and through our organization in the universities. So yeah, we can essentially stop that from happening.
It's notable to say that because the student movement has achieved a lot of things, this is why police and the state try to suppress this movement, tries to enter the universities and clear the political spaces that we've created there. They have cleared a lot of the political spaces in Thessaloniki and in Athens and in Crete.
They want to crush it.
Yeah, they want
because
to crush
they
it.
They are afraid.
Yeah, they are afraid because they can see what the student movement can achieve. And this is the suppression of the movement is something that we try to fight against. It is a battle that we try to give. And a great example of the achievements of the student movement is the 2006 through 7 movement, which is again against the privatization of the higher education, against the policing of the universities, against the exclusion of students that overcome the estimated time of their studies. Mm-hmm. So they can see what we have achieved and they try to suppress it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fourth time that they tried to pass it, the bill about the privatization of higher education. So, yeah, I think it's in our hands to not let it pass it for the fourth time either.
So, like, 2 decades you are resisting the police state and the bourgeois reforms in higher education. Very inspiring for students here. Yeah. I hope they will hear this and see this and be inspired to fight against reforms that are against student interest here in Macedonia. So when you mentioned the police, my next question would be about the militarization of our both societies. We see that there is a rise of the right-wing policies. Not NATO expect every country to pay the price of the waging wars. And we see tensions in the Mediterranean. What is the role of the Greek state in all of these tensions? And how are you dealing with it?
Well, first of all, because I think there are many points that we need to open up here, you can even see from the yearly economic estimate that I think was voted a few days ago, that there are a lot of expenses that are being given towards the militarization of the country, whilst if you compare it to any other department where it's supposed to be free and of the people, like health or water or electricity, all of those are being decreased. All the economic the economic estimate that is supposed to be going towards, you know, education and health and water and electricity, it's just getting decreased and decreased by year, while the amount that is supposed to be towards the military does not get decreased at all, or it even grows higher. I think this year We're giving a 3.5% of the GDP.
The highest in Europe.
Yeah,
and EU doesn't, and not NATO doesn't expect from us to have 3.5% of our GDP. It's like our decision, it's the state's decision to give so much money to the military and all the and all this equipment. We have seen Greece take the initiative to send weapons to Ukraine, and with the workers' initiative in the trains and in the ports, we've seen that they have stopped some of these weapons to go to either Israel or Ukraine. What we say as NAR and as a Youth for Communist Liberation is that we are with the people, we are the people's interest. We are not going to fight for any exclusive economic zone or for any capital or imperialist power or something like that, and we won't ever choose the lesser imperialist. We won't ever choose between let's say Russia or USA or NATO or BRICS. We will always be with the people's interest, with the people's needs. And while we see that our hospitals are downgraded, we don't have staff, we don't have equipment for surgeries, and even now the Minister of Health in Greece have introduced the evening surgeries, which is like paid. You have to pay for that. Yeah. We see that we have to pay for our health because they don't have any money to maintain the hospitals, but we see simultaneously that they give all that money to the military. Yeah. And they also downgrade the university's quality. It's insane. Yeah. And it's because of our professors' attempts and their achievements that they keep the standard and the quality research in the universities. Yeah. We don't have any support from the state.
Yes. And even if there is some, it's like, as I said again, it's getting lesser and lesser almost by the year. I remember we were at our department at some point speaking with a principal essentially of our department, and he said our whole department works with, I think, 27,000 per year, which is very small, and especially, and that's just our case for my department at least. While at other departments or at the homes that are supposed to be for the students from other cities, the last example you could bring up is the fact that an elevator broke and it still has not been repaired. And even though we went to the principal basically of the university and asked for explanations and maybe a statement that would say that they're going to fix it or they're going to make sure that it doesn't happen again, still nothing happened. Basically, yeah. They called the police on us.
And just to go back to the point,
And also regarding the economic increase regarding militarization, just like he mentioned, you can even see it from smaller things, just like the military school, the military department of the university. It actually, they basically give them to each of the students there a certain amount each month, and even that got almost doubled this year.
And to go back to the previous point about the economic zones and all that stuff, we know that the state tells us that we can have those economic zones, and we will use it to empower our economy, use the oil and the LNG to have a better life. But we already know that this oil and this LNG will go to the companies to use and export it somewhere else. We already know that there are collaborations with companies that will use these resources for their benefit and not the benefit of the people.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to market it or present it as, that if we extend the economic zones in the Aegean, it's actually going to benefit the people or the economy in general. Well,
that's the propaganda that we hear for two decades here, that the foreign investments will bring the workers better wages and conditions. And from our example, it isn't just like that. So when we go to the economic sphere, and what are the conditions are for workers in the countries in the region, I was interesting what are the main economic reforms that are against the workers' interest in Greece. What are the key points that you expect in the next year to fight against? Like,
We already fight against that. Any worker that goes to his work doesn't have to die in their work. We have a lot of injuries and deaths in the workplace of the workers. Like, I think almost every week we have an announcement about the death of the worker, especially in ports that are being used by Costco, the Chinese company. We listen all the time about deaths in the workplace because of the horrendous conditions that they work at. And the solution to that is not only equipment for these workers, but collective contracts for each workplace and how's it called? A department of work, so we can ensure that all the workers have a livable wage, livable conditions to live in, don't get fired in 2-3 months and have a stable work.
Yeah, so they can claim permanent positions.
Yeah, and also we ask that the 800 euro wage we have now, it is not enough.
Definitely not.
We ask as NAR 1,200 euros at least, because we have computed that a household can't live with lower than 1,200 euros. And this is the lowest, of course. We ask for a livable life. We ask to not starve and not cut electricity, cut
health expenses,
or freeze to have to live.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a
just better living conditions, just both. In the work field, because just like Nicola said, we have basically a death in a work department each week almost. Mm-hmm. And also for living conditions, just in general, both in, the public aspect of life and in private, which is, like we said, health expenses or be able to afford electricity and not freeze to death during the winter. To be able to buy food from the supermarket, because right now all the living expenses are rising and rising at all at once. And you supposedly that would be an effect of the rising wages, but that's the funny thing about capitalism. We don't see the minimum wage or any wages being increased for the workers. We only see the prices getting increased.
That's why the wages are devalued.
Yeah.
When maybe you have the same sum, but you can buy even lesser and lesser goods. Yeah.
And one thing to mention is that products that are being produced in Greece, like olive oil, feta, and all that stuff, they are more expensive than in Europe. Like, we see that in the shelves of the supermarket in Germany, feta is maybe half the price, or olive oil. And here in Greece, they are double the price. And we produce them, we export them. How is that possible? And it is possible because there is no measures to prevent the cartel and the monopoly, basically the oligarchy of the supermarkets and every business person to rise the prices as they want.
But they call themselves patriots.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is very... I can't understand how is that possible when we export it, or even the vegetables, the fruits.
Yeah, as if we pay the exportation tax, not the other countries.
And there are no fines, or there are fines that are not respective to the profits of every market. Like if a supermarket has a profit of a billion euros, I think that a 100,000 euro fine doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
They will just pay it, but no problem.
Yeah. Or even electricity, they have super profits.
Yeah,
they have,
it has risen a lot.
They have billions.
Mm-hmm.
And they still cut the electricity for poor people.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like their profits are connected with...
Yes, and it always happens on certain neighborhoods as well, which... you can see there are where most of the workforce leaves. It's usually the places that are out of reach from the city center, even by the metro that we now have in Thessaloniki. It's based at the center, and you can see just gentrification in general and kind of understand where in the city they want to not make it as accessible to people. And it just so happens that it is for the people that live in areas outside of the city center, because it's getting really hard to either rent or buy a house at the city center.
Yes, it's very hard to rent an apartment in the city center because of Airbnb.
Yeah.
It is a very this company.
It's a plague, basically.
Yeah, it's a plague. There are no apartments for students to live because our universities are in the city center, and everything is Airbnb. And the minimum rent in the city center near the universities are like 600 euros for like 30 or 50 square meters, and
which is why also you see, I think majority, if not all of the students right now that are studying, are also simultaneously working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also throwing people out of their houses.
You have a protest months ago about that.
And we had some comrades that were being tried because they defend the house of the people, and they were being tried. And we were, of course, there for them to support them.
Yeah, we covered it in Glasny Day months ago. This is classic question. What's your expectations and activities in 2025? Because as we see, as we discussed yesterday on the panel, we are expecting increasing of militarization, wars, and pressure on the working class to pay the expenses of the bourgeoisie. So briefly, because we are in the end of this conversation, what are your activities in the next year?
Well, I think, like we said yesterday, we are planning on, I think, not creating exactly, but reaching the last steps towards a new organization of deeper and more intensive political analysis, and even more complicated, but I don't want to say it in a... negative manner, complicated as more complex, I would say, strategically as well, a new organization. So I think that's for start.
Yeah, this is the congress that we'll do in February about the new organization, the initiative for a contemporary party and a contemporary program. Later in the year, we'll do the Congress of the Youth Organization for the Communist Liberation, so we can discuss about the topics that are that matter to the young people. And also in the end of 2025, we plan to make a Workers' Congress. So we can see more deeply the issues about the workers. And we have to say that a communist party is a party in the historical term if it is part of the working class. So what we want to do is to reach the working class, to have the workers in our organization. We want them to organize, because only then we can have a better future, to fight for a better future. We have a lot of political discussions as an organization, even in the collectives we are in as students in our departments. We are all a part of a big collective that decides democratically about
our future actions.
And what we want to say, it's very important, it's that we democratically decide with the base organization. Yeah. Is that we don't believe in democratic centralism.
Yeah.
We decide collectively, and even the positions and the principles we have for the new organization are being approved from the base organizations, from its region, even from a village, even from a big city. Also, if we have come to the end, I want to also say something about the Prespas agreement, because it is very important. The Prespas agreement was a very hot topic. It still is in Greece. I think you have seen the rallies that nationals,
especially in Thessaloniki, the
nationals have done with the help of the church. We believe that the Prespas agreement is a strategic plan for the capital and for NATO and the EU to create Northern Macedonia a base for them to train the military of Macedonia. And also Greece, apart from the hypocrisy of the leaders and the politicians, they saw it as a very great opportunity to invest in North Macedonia. And as we've seen it with the investments from Greek companies like Jumbo, Veropoulos, and very big companies, that they have seized the opportunity of this agreement to create a bigger profit
for their capital to expand, kind of like the Greek imperialistic capital.
They want the worker class from both countries to hate each other, but the bourgeoisie are very close and friendly.
I think it's kind of a very old tactic to make the masses to hate each other, so they can just keep on doing and, you know, making more profit.
I'm glad that you mentioned it, because we as a socialist are also in that position, that that agreement only fueled the nationalism on both sides, doesn't repress it. So I wish you luck. I wish that our cooperation will become more and more close. And as always, you inspire us and keep doing so for our youth to be more and more revolutionary.
You are very welcome to come to Greece whenever you want, to Thessaloniki. We're very happy to host you, and we are very happy for you that you hosted us. You're very kind.
Totally. Hopefully we'll have a podcast when you come.
Let's be our event yesterday example for the whole Balkan people and the nation.
And even further.
Yes, yes. Thank you for your interview. Почитувани гледачи, се надеваме дека и во 2025 година ќе имаме гости од регионот за да покажеме на нашата јавност дека не само националисти живеат на Балканот, туку живеат и чести млади луѓе кои се борат за заедничка соработка и за изградба на социјалистичко општество.